Raise your hand if you like being, not yet, in a job interview. Yeah. Not too many people, especially if you're the one being interviewed for the job. They just aren't that much fun because they can be tricky business. You're depending on getting a job and you're going to be asked all these questions. You can prepare for what questions you think they're going to ask you and what answers you should give to those questions. But you always have that fear that there's going to be that question that completely throws you. And you don't have an answer for it, at least not a good one. And your whole job could depend on it. Now, we thank God every day that in order to become disciples of Christ, there never was a job interview for it. It's a free gift of grace that God gives to us to be followers of Christ. But there will still be questions. Not from God, but from other people. People will always ask you why you do what you do, why you are the way you are. And they may be interested in becoming members of the church. They may just have curiosity. Or they might even ask to be deceitful. Are you ready for an answer then? In God's word for us today, the Apostle Peter tackles this very subject and teaches us that we do have an answer to give. We read from 1 Peter 3:13-17. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of your threats, nor of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You see, we do have an answer. Jesus' righteousness gives us all the right answers. One question you'll run into is, why do you not sin with other people? Why don't you sin with us? And it might not come in those exact words, but you'll hear other questions like, why don't you come and get drunk with us after work? Or, why don't you come worship at my church? Even though we don't agree on doctrine, we all worship the same God anyway, don't we? Or, question may be, when will you give up this whole judging people and saying that's not God's will, and realize that the world is changing around you? We answer that God turns his back on those who sin. But just before the verses that we read, Peter quotes from Psalm 34. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That image is striking. So on the one side, you have the righteous, and God is facing towards them. He attends to their every need. But behind God is the unrighteous, those who sin. God treats them as though they don't even exist. And that's how serious sin is. All who remain in that darkness of sin, when Christ comes to judge the world, they will remain in that darkness forever. That is why we don't engage in the sins of the world. We are aware of that separation that from God, and we're aware that that separation is eternal death. But we have the problem of temptation. How often do we want to look into that darkness and see what's going on? After all, it seems as though people there are having a good time. They seem to be doing all right for themselves. We try to think of ways of getting as close to that darkness as we can without getting burned. It's as though we go behind God's back, but we try to lean against his back, feel that he's still there. Maybe we won't get lost in that darkness. We think our familiarity with God is going to keep us okay. But God only guides us out of darkness, never into it or through it. You probably know your house well enough that you can get up in the middle of the night, not turn on any lights, and go to the kitchen and get a glass of water. But what happens if someone leaves a sharp object on the floor? Or someone left a cabinet door open, ready to smack you right between the eyes. Or maybe there's a robber hiding behind the couch, waiting to ambush you because his eyes are adjusted to the darkness. The simple world is chaos like that. There's no way that you are strong enough or cunning enough to make it through unscathed. Satan is that thief, always hiding to ambush us. And he knows the darkness better than anyone else. There are no small slip-ups. There's no, well, I can curse or burst out in anger, look at pornography or lie just this once, get it out of my system, and then hop back on the good side. Sin kills. Sin is so serious that when Jesus took our sins upon himself, he had to die with his Father's back turned to him. That's why we don't join in the sins of the world. Now, if you have to answer that question to someone who asks, pray that when you answer that question, God will give you the opportunity to bring the gospel to whomever is asking. Perhaps the segue question will be, well, what makes you so special? And then you can tell them of the righteousness of Christ, the inheritance that God has blessed you with, and in which you place all your hope. So be prepared to answer that question. Why do you put your hope in Jesus? Here's the fun part. Because you can tell anyone, no matter who it is, that they too can put their hope in Christ. They are in the same sunken boat that you were once in. You were dead in the darkness of sin. But now, you are righteous. God loved you so much that he couldn't stand to see you out of his sight, so he sent his son Jesus to come to earth and take on our sins and die and rise again. And when he rose again, he brought you before God's throne and said, this person is righteous. There are no marks on him. I've paid for his sins. And God can only answer, then he is righteous. Therefore, you are now a child of God. God promises you that you will love life and live to see good days. You will ever be before his eyes and he will hear your every prayer. As his child, you are guaranteed the blessing of your inheritance, which is eternal life in God's house. We see these blessings that are promised to us every day, but sometimes it can be hard to notice them because people will be quick to point out that your life isn't really all that great. Things aren't always going your way. Your refusal to run with the rest of the world is costing you friends, family, fun, and financial gains. How can you keep placing your hope on Christ if you aren't seeing tangible results every day? And after all, they say that you're taking advice from a man, Peter, who eventually was killed because he refused to turn away from Christ. And yes, we definitely aren't living in paradise now, but some of us are rich, but many of us are poor. None of us have perfect health, and we know that it's inevitable that there's sickness and death around us. Yet God's word assures us that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So we are content. We could enjoy life by doing evil. We could earn a lot of earthly advantages if we do that. We can have pleasure instead of suffering. But we can only stave off suffering for a lifetime. We put our hope rather on the promise that our suffering will end and we will have eternal life instead. However, you know that Jesus purchased and won you with his precious blood. And though you suffer now, Christ's righteousness is your ticket to the end of suffering. You have the blessing of eternal life. Christ's righteousness is the answer. These are your answers. Jesus' righteousness. We sing hymn 30, verses 1 and 5.